It's no use arguing, Fang. I tell you, I'm going to take the part of the hermit. Mrs. L said I could, and she's the one that's putting on the show.
Yes, but I tell you, I hired a fellow yesterday to take that part.
Then you can just get a hold of him and tell him to get somebody better.
But that dude, I don't know where to find him. I just told him to learn the words he's got to say and then be at the Opry House tomorrow night.
Yeah, you can just tell him then that you've got somebody that'll do it a lot better than he can.
Now, listen, Eb, you can't act out that part.
Why can't I? Why can't I?
Because you can't learn all the words by tomorrow night.
I got them all learned for the first act already. This here wild woman says, who comes through the storm? Then I say, 'tis I, the hermit of the hills. I owe no man a bill. I live by my spear. Then the wild woman says something, and then I take her into my cave.
Yes, but that's just the first act. How about the second and the third?
Oh, shucks, I'll get it all right.
And another thing, if you're going to be the hermit, all you get to wear is a leopard skin. You'll catch your death of cold.
No, I won't. I'm going to wear a suit of red flannel underwear underneath my skin.
No, I wish you'd give up the notion and tend to run the storm noises. Who are we going to get to do that if you go parading around a leopard skin in a suit of red flannel underwear?
Get Hector to do it.
I can't find hide my hair, Hector. I phoned him last night to come in, and here it is darn near noon, and he ain't showed up yet. Say, as long as you're so dad darn stubborn and want to be an actor instead of running the storm noises, suppose you just go out and find Hector.
Oh, shucks. He'll show up all right.
Show up? So will Christmas.
Ain't we going to put the show on till Christmas?
We're going to put the show on tomorrow night. Tomorrow night. And we got to get somebody to handle the storm.
Why don't you do it?
I gotta work the curtain.
Sure. Let's not have any storm.
We're going to have a storm. That's the big scene in the show. Now quit thinking up excuses and get out and find Hector. Go on now.
Well, I'm a-going, ain't I? Shucks, you're always rushing a fella.
Rushing you? There's no chance to rush you. You're froze still. And say, if you ain't hanging around the post office, try to park in the drugstore. Sometimes I wish you hadn't made such a success to show business. Hello? Oh, hello, Miss L. Say, what's your idea of putting the notion in Eb's head that he can play the hermit? Yes, I know, but... Yes, but... Yes. All right. Now, what's that about the storm scene? Done what? Oh, I don't quite get that word yet. Oh, realism, yes. Yes, well, I say I'll do my best. Yes, here's Hector now. Goodbye.
Say, did you want to see me, Mr. Winterbottom?
You know darn well I wanted to see you. You told me you was going to be here at 8 o'clock.
Yes, but you see, it wasn't exactly my fault. I was unfortunately delayed by a dream.
By a dream?
Yes, I dreamt that I was on a bus coming over here to see you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the bus stopped, and I dreamt I got off to watch a couple of dogs fighting, and the bus drove off without me, and then I woke up.
Well, what time was that?
About 7 o'clock.
Well, sakes alive, why didn't you get up and come over? You know the store is always open to 7 o'clock.
Yes, but that's the whole point. I had to go back to sleep and sleep for 3 hours before I dreamt another bus came along.
Yes, well, that's the trouble with you. Ah, what's the matter with you? Now, look here, young fella.
That was a sick one.
Well, you can just stop your darn tomfoolery, because I want to talk sensible to you. We're going to put on the Hermit and the Wild Woman tomorrow night, and we've got to have somebody to make the noise of a storm. Did you ever do anything like that?
You mean sound effects?
Yes, I suppose that's what you'd call them.
Why, Mr. Winterbottom, I'm surprised that you should ask such a question. Don't you know that I'm considered one of the greatest sound effect men in the profession?
Why, no, Hector, I didn't. Who considers you that?
I do. I'll never forget the time that I put on the big blizzard scene at the old Hippodrome Theater. It was one of the greatest spectacles of its day. At that time, Reginald Renford was playing Thorns and Orange Blossoms.
Playing Thorns and Orange Blossoms, eh?
Yes, you played it with Deuces Wild, 10 cents limit.
What?
And say, did we have fun? I won $1.10.
What about the show?
Show?
Yes.
Show? What show?
Why, the one you started telling me about, where you put on the big blizzard.
Big blizzard?
Yes.
Oh, I know what you're thinking about. Big buzzard. Big buzzard. No. Yes, indeed. One of the biggest buzzards ever.
Oh, wait a minute, kind son. I ain't talking about no buzzard.
You're not?
No, I ain't.
You're not talking about a buzzard?
No.
Now, how do you suppose that crept into the conversation?
Silence, if you'll keep still a minute, I'll tell you what I'm talking about. You said you used to work in the theater, and you put on a big blizzard scene.
Oh, yes. I see what you mean now. Sure, see it clear as mud. Yes, the big blizzard scene. Well, yes. The show was entitled Othello or the Moor of the Mirror. And as you recall, it opens with a big blizzard scene. It really doesn't open with a blizzard scene, but they had a blizzard left over from the show before, and they decided to use it. You see, it was sort of a pet blizzard. They used it to keep around here to catch flies.
You're just going round and round the circle.
That's all right. When I get dizzy, I'll fall down.
But I want to know about the show.
Oh, the show, yes, that's quite right. The show was called War Paint, or Was My Face Red? And it was about a fellow who comes home to his apartment and finds his wife entertaining the sewing circle. Well, they're all talking at once. Everybody's talking at once, so the fellow decides to run away.
Well, what's he run away for?
Well, you see, he's a fugitive from a tin gang.
And is that where the big blizzard comes in?
No, that was in 1897. And the year the big blizzard wasn't until 98. I'll never forget that winter as long as I live, Mr. Winterbottom. Never as long as I live. I was born the following summer in a log cabin which I helped my father to build. And one day...
Wait a minute just a second there. How could you be born in a log cabin that you helped your father build? What are you talking about?
Yes, you're quite correct, Mr. Winterbottom. As you say, a smile will go a long, long way.
I didn't say anything about a smile at all.
Oh, then that was my error. Well, one day...
Listen, Dad, didn't I ask you a question? I asked you how could you be born in the cabin you helped your father build.
Did I say I was born in the cabin you helped my father build?
You most certainly did, young fellow.
That's wrong, Mr. Winterbottom. Absolutely wrong. I wasn't born in a cabin to help my father build.
I thought you wasn't.
After I got through helping him build it, I went to visit my aunt. I was born there. So one day...
Of all the dead during foolishness. Now, see here, Hector Smith. Are you going to tell me about that blizzard, or ain't you?
Yes, certainly I am. But remember, Mr. Winterbottom, you can't hurry a blizzard. You can suggest and advise, but you can't hurry it.
Well, come on, get to the point and tell me about it.
Well, briefly, it was this. I was standing on the beach when I saw this storm coming up. I could tell right away it was a baby storm.
How do you mean it was a baby storm?
Because it started with a squall. Out in the water was the boat. Suddenly a terrific blast of wind hit us, and over it went. I saw three people floundering in the water.
Yes.
Three people.
Yes.
And without a moment's hesitation, I plunged in, swam out to the boat, and brought back one person. Then, and in again I jumped, and back with another. And then in once more, bringing another person back. And then, great heavens, what did I see?
What did you see? What was it?
A head. Another head. Think of that. After all that work, above the surface of those terrible waves, for the fourth time I plunged in, swam out, but it wasn't a head I had seen.
It wasn't a head?
No, it was just a wig, a man's wig. But I gathered it up, swam back to shore, and presented it to its owner, and so, Mr. Winterbottom, I was given a medal.
Oh, you mean for being a good lifesaver?
No, for being a good hair restorer.
Wait just a second here, Hector Smith. I bet the whole darn story's a lie.
Why, Mr. Winterbottom.
Yes, it is. It's a dead burn lie. I wouldn't believe you any further than I could carry water in a sieve.
Yes, well, I'll bet you that I can carry water in a sieve a long way.
Like fun you can.
All right, if you're so smart, I'll just bet you a dime I can carry water in a sieve. So put up or shut up.
Well, you can't bluff me, young feller. There sure is my dime. Now, how can you carry water in a sieve?
I freeze the water first.
Why, turn your eyes. You come back here.
Come on back here.
I dare you.
What in turn ain't
that
going on here?
What are you hollering
about?
Wait a minute. You got a dime in your pocket?
I got a dime.
Well, get it out. I'm going to bet you. Come on, get it out.
Now, there it is. What's the bet?
Yes, well, here's mine. Now, listen. The bet is I can tell you how to pour water into a sieve so as it won't leak out.
That's fake.
Well, it just ain't a fake. And that's where you lose. To do it, you gotta freeze the water first. Give me the dime. You lose.
I lose nothing. You can't pour water when it's froze.
What? Ah, Dan, learn that young jackanapes.
If he ever comes in again, I'll skin him alive.